Hi, I'm Lisa Gunther with Canadian Cattlemen Magazine, and I'm here again with Kelly Sidorek, who writes a column for us called Depth of Field. And we're going to talk about Kelly's column in the September issue, where she talks or writes about the conscious versus subconscious brain. So, Kelly, just tell us a little bit about the difference between those two parts of our mind.
Well, first of all, I have to give credit to Simon Sinek, who is an author and a motivational speaker. And this concept I first was discovering through him. And he talks about various components of it. But the essence of what he's saying is that our conscious brain is relative to operating in about a 2-foot area around us. So think of the information you have and that amount of space, if you will. But then he goes on to say that the subconscious actually accesses 11 acres. And maybe it was because the acre reference and we're in agriculture, but the significant difference between, you know, what would fit in a 2-foot space and what would fit in an 11 acre space, I thought was quite profound. And, you know, the subconscious is everything that we've learned along the way, all our life experiences, which won't necessarily come to us immediately in our consciousness, but if we give it some time, then we can access that. So he then goes on to say, that's why people talk about, you know, you have your great ideas in your shower. Maybe for those who run, it might be when you're going for a run. Sometimes I know for me, if I'm on a longer drive by myself, that'll be a time that all of a sudden different ideas start coming. And in that, I think we can find some great answers. So, you know, I think that is applicable to us as individuals, but also something really good to keep in mind for our teams and our farming and ranching operations. When we have big, difficult decisions to make, trying to make them, you know, in a 1.5-hour meeting with a sense of urgency that we've got to get this done right now. And sometimes actually, we do. We know that. But if you can structure it in such a way that you can have that beginning session and really go over a lot of the information and the options, but then give everybody some space to, I love, you know, you can say mull it over, but I think we should say ruminate because of the business that we're in. And that way we can access some of those other really creative options that we maybe weren't thinking of in the first place. And certainly another part of it, if they're in our operations and with our teams, there can be some emotion attached to it too. And giving ourselves a chance to separate from that, I think, can be helpful. So it just seems to me that, you know, that idea of trusting yourself and giving yourself some space and time to come up with some good answers. Sinek also goes on to say that that's a big value in brainstorming. And certainly if you have a brainstorming exercise where you come up with a bunch of ideas for tackling a certain problem, that is a really great strategy to tap into human creativity. But he then goes on to say that you should come back to it because that brainstorming question that you posed is still in your brain and it's working on coming up with an answer when you let it go into the subconscious. So ideas you might not thought of. So, you know, if you're the type of person that wants to delay decisions, you know, to sleep on it, if you will, I think that's a good thing to do. It can be helpful.
And what happens when we're on our cell phones all the time? What happens to this process?
Well, in one of Simon's recent videos, he said you are not accessing the subconscious part of your brain. It's keeping you engaged in the conscious part. So if you have some time, you know, try to simply do nothing. And that way, maybe there will be other solutions or ideas that you come up with that you won't necessarily when you're on the phone. So he's definitely a proponent of keeping those cell phones away some of the time. We don't need to be on them 24/7.
Another thing you covered in your column was just three questions to ask yourself if you're facing like an overwhelming situation.
I thought this was another interesting strategy, and I came across this with life coach Susie Moore. And what she suggested is to, first of all, ask yourself, how serious is this really? And, you know, many will have heard of the concept of asking yourself, you know, is this going to matter in 5 weeks? Is it going to matter in 5 months? Is it going to matter in 5 years? And I think that's a helpful reminder, because sometimes in the moment, things may seem larger and more serious than they truly are. So I thought that was helpful. And then her next thing is to just quickly say, and try to do this from a calm and clear mindset, is what are my options? And just come up with a few options. And then the third part of her strategy is simply choose the easiest one and then move forward. You know, and I think as humans, we can tend to totally overcomplicate things. And so if we just go to which is the easiest option, that's what we're doing today. I can use an example of in our grazing operation, running into some challenges with water. And there's a seriousness when it didn't last as long as you thought it was going to. And so what are the options? Okay. And, you know, well, you can haul water. You can drag in a new system. You can try to pipe water. And or you can simply leave the gate to the next paddock that has access to water and let them go back there. Is that ideal from a grazing management point of view? No, not at all. But just for the simplest, easiest that you can do immediately and know that the stock needs are looked after. Yes, there's some pressure being put on the grass, but it's a solution that you can come to immediately, because sometimes with the more complicated solutions, you have to keep pushing them down the road, and that doesn't help anybody or anything, I don't think.
Great. Anything else you want to add today, Kelly?
Well, you know, I just, I really appreciate the opportunity, and I think that there's so many interesting things about our brain and how we think, and we can always be improving some of those strategies. And it's not always easy, but there's so much out there to learn. And certainly that's a part of keeping a healthy brain, is continue learning and trying new things, no matter how old you are. That's a really good way to keep developing our brains, in addition to a lot of the basic health pieces that people know about, you know, good nutrition, sleep, and exercise. So try something new.
Great. Well, thanks a lot, Kelly. Great chatting with you today, as usual.
Take care of yourself. Bye.